Football's world governing body, FIFA, will elect a new president on Friday. It will also vote on a package of reforms intended to bring to an end the corruption that contributed to the downfall of the former president, Sepp Blatter. More than 200 delegates will choose a successor and five candidates. The two frontrunners are Sheikh Salman, the president of the Asia Football Confederation, and UEFA's Gianni Infantino. The chairman of the English Football Association, Greg Dyke, said it was an important moment for world football.
Who knows what happens with the cases that are already in train, but hopefully we pass the reform programme, which is the more important part, we elect a new president, and FIFA goes back to some sort of normality. That isn't to say there won't be more investigations following allegations that are being made, but that's about the past, hopefully.
Iranians are going to the polls in the first national test of public opinion since Tehran signed a nuclear deal with world powers. Voters are electing a new parliament, as well as selecting members of the Assembly of Experts that appoints Iran's supreme leader. Here's James Robbins.
The regime derives legitimacy from the electoral system, although that system is rigidly controlled to exclude candidates seen as an outright threat to dominance by the clerics. This time, the election outcomes are particularly intriguing. Will the people of Iran reward modernizing politicians who overcame conservative hardliners to conclude the historic nuclear deal last year? Or will the extraordinarily large number of floating voters in Iran prefer to apply the brakes and endorse more conservative candidates to limit the power of President Rouhani?
James Robbins reporting. The leading US Republican presidential contender Donald Trump has come under attack from his two main rivals during a heated television debate. Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz are fighting to stop Mr. Trump from running away with the nomination in the Super Tuesday state primaries. They questioned both Mr. Trump's conservatism and his character, accusing him of lying, exploiting students, and employing illegal immigrants to work on his properties. When the debate, broadcast on CNN, turned to foreign policy, Marco Rubio and Donald Trump clashed over how to achieve a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians.
I am a negotiator. I've done very well over the years through negotiation. It's very important that we do that. In all fairness, Marco is not a negotiator. I watched him melt down, and I'll tell you, it was one of the saddest things I've ever seen. He is not going down.
He thinks the Palestinian is a real estate deal.
And these people may even be tougher than Chris Christie, okay?
The Palestinians are not a real estate deal, Donald.
Okay, no. A deal.
A deal is a deal.
Let me tell you, I've learned a long time ago.
A deal is not a deal when you're dealing with terrorists.
You are not a negotiator. You are not a negotiator.
World news from the BBC. Police in the American state of Kansas say three people have been killed and more than a dozen injured in a series of shootings. The sheriff of Harvey County said four crime scenes were being investigated, including a lawnmower factory in the town of Heston, where four people, including the gunman, died. He'd worked at the plant and was shot by a law enforcement officer. Finance ministers from the G20 group of leading economists are meeting in Shanghai as they try to deal with a predicted global slowdown. The Chinese finance minister, Liu Jiawei, said China had the fiscal space to tackle the downward pressures it's facing. Robin Brand reports.
As they gather in China's commercial capital, the prevailing mood is not good. The IMF has revised down its forecast for global economic growth, and China is coming to terms with its own slower growth. The volatility in its main stock market continues to spook investors around the world. China's finance minister, Lao Qiwei, opened the meeting, saying the ultimate way out was structural reform to his country's economy.
Two Turkish journalists charged with revealing state secrets have been released from jail after the country's constitutional court ruled that their rights had been violated. The Cumhuriyet newspaper's editor-in-chief, Can Dündar, and a colleague, Erdem Gül, were arrested in November after publishing footage suggesting the state intelligence agency had been sending weapons to Islamist rebels in Syria. With almost all votes counted in the general election in Jamaica, the opposition Labour Party is set to win back power. It's expected to get 33 of the 63 seats in Parliament. Addressing supporters, the Prime Minister-elect, Andrew Holness, promised to grow the country's economy and create jobs. He'll succeed Portia Simpson-Miller, who's conceded. BBC News.